I want you to close your eyes for a second. Imagine you are standing on the shoulder of a major interstate.
Okay.
It's night. The only light is from those, temporary construction towers. And about 3 feet away from you, an 18-wheeler blows past at 75 miles an hour.
You feel that vacuum, that pull.
You feel that pull.
Yeah.
That is the office for thousands of road construction workers every single night.
It's terrifying. It really is.
We talk about high stakes, but laying out road markings, I mean, literally walking on pavement while traffic flies by,
Yeah.
that's one of the most dangerous jobs out there.
Absolutely. The industry calls it boots on the pavement, and the whole goal for the last decade has been to get those boots off the pavement.
Right. And we know the solution is automation. It's robots, these big trucks that do the work, so a human can sit safely inside the cab.
We've seen the tech.
But here's the twist, and this is why we're doing this deep dive. What happens when the technology that saves lives is physically impossible to get to the people who need it?
That is the question. It stops being a technology problem.
It becomes a logistics problem.
Exactly.
So today we are digging into the LifeMark 100M Modular Auto Layout System.
Yeah.
It's a new 2026 release from Lintec Scientific. And, on the surface, it's a product launch.
Right.
But when you look at these sources, the spec sheets, the video scripts, and this really powerful document they call the story behind, you realize this isn't a story about a robot.
No, it's a story about a box.
It's a story about a box. It's about shrinking a massive industrial process into something that can fit on a pallet.
It's what they call a strategic evolution.
Okay, so set the scene for us. Limtech already has the LifeMark 100. It's been around. It's a beast of a machine, this huge, fully integrated truck.
A turnkey solution, yeah.
If that works so well, why change it? Why build the M version?
Because that legacy system, the big truck, it works perfectly if you're in the US or Canada. The truck and the robot are one unit.
Right.
But the sources say they hit a massive wall around 2025. They called it the international barrier.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here. I mean, we ship cars all over the world.
Yeah.
Why couldn't it just ship these trucks to, say, Europe or South America?
Well, you can ship them, but it is a logistical nightmare, a bureaucratic nightmare.
How so?
Think about it. A Ford F-Series truck built for the American market. It might not meet the emission standards in the EU.
Ah.
The steering wheel might be on the wrong side for Australia. It could be too wide for some roads in Southeast Asia.
So it's not just put it on a boat.
Far from it. It's a process called homologation. Getting a vehicle certified for a foreign market, it takes months, sometimes years. It costs a fortune.
So you have this amazing safety tech trapped inside a vehicle that's legal in Ohio but illegal in Germany.
That's it. You have the cure, but the ambulance can't cross the border.
That's incredibly frustrating.
And that's where the sources describe this breakthrough question from the engineering team. For years, they were asking, how do we get our trucks to the world?
And they just couldn't solve it.
So they pivoted. They started asking, how do we stop being a truck manufacturer and start being a technology provider?
How do we ship the automation to the truck instead of shipping the truck to the automation?
That's the one. And that simple question kicked off this huge engineering challenge. Decouple the system from the vehicle completely.
So let's talk about the result of that challenge. This LifeMark 100M. I'm looking at the spec sheet, and the first thing that jumps out is the size, storage configuration.
38 by 38 by 82 inches.
It's tiny.
That's what? The size of a big refrigerator.
Roughly, yeah. And that's a very specific dimension. It's designed to fit on a standard shipping pallet.
Okay, that's a huge deal. A truck goes by sea, that takes weeks, maybe months.
Correct. But a crate that's 38 inches wide and weighs under 500 pounds.
You can air freight that.
You can air freight it. A road crew in Brazil could order it on Monday and have it by Friday. That kind of speed is just unheard of in heavy infrastructure.
Hold on, you said under 500 pounds. To me, that sounds heavy, but the spec sheet talks about it like it's a feather. It is. For industrial automation, 500 pounds is practically nothing. The old system had massive hydraulic pumps, heavy steel booms, welded frames.
So getting it down to that weight was a huge engineering feat.
A complete rethink of the mechanics.
So you get this crate, you open it up, and the video script talks about this pneumatic assist articulating dual side layout carriage. It's a mouthful.
It is, but it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So imagine you have this unit bolted into the bed of a pickup truck, any pickup.
Right.
You need to get the business end, the paint gun, from the middle of the truck out to the side of the road.
Okay.
Now, a fully robotic arm would be heavy and expensive, so instead they used pneumatic assist.
Break that down for me.
Think about the hydraulic closer on a heavy storm door. You know how it makes it easy to open and keeps it from slamming shut?
Or like power steering.
Exactly, like power steering. The operator provides the direction, but the machine provides the muscle. An operator unlocks it and just guides it out, and the air pressure carries all the weight.
It just floats into place.
It floats into place. No strained backs.
That's so smart. And it saves the weight of big electric motors or hydraulics.
Precisely. And it's dual side. Mm. So from its folded storage position, you can swing it out to the left side or to the right side of the truck.
But not both at the same time.
No, not at once. And that's a limitation we should definitely talk about. But the flexibility means you don't need a specific left-hand truck and a right-hand truck. One unit does both jobs.
Okay, I have to challenge this. I hear modular, I hear portable, under 500 pounds. And my brain immediately thinks light version.
The budget model.
Yeah, the watered-down compromise. Am I losing capability here?
I'm glad you brought that up because the engineers clearly saw that coming. The documentation is really aggressive on this point. They say, and this is a quote, strategic evolution, not compromise.
That sounds like marketing speak.
You'd think so, but no. When you look at the brains, the actual electronics cabinet, it's identical to the one in the big heavy-duty truck. Same AI engine, same computing power.
What about the sensors? Precision has to take a hit if you're just bolting this thing on.
It doesn't. It carries the same dual antenna GNSS system and the same RTK real-time kinematic positioning.
Okay, let's unpack RTK for a second. Why does a road painter need that?
Well, the GPS in your phone is accurate to maybe 10, 15 feet.
Right.
If you paint a lane line 15 feet off, you've just caused a head-on collision. RTK uses a base station to correct the signal and get the accuracy down to centimeters.
Surgical precision.
Absolutely.
But here's my worry. You bolt this 500-pound box into the back of, like, a Ford Ranger.
Right.
Those are light trucks. They bounce, they sway. A big, heavy truck just plows through bumps.
Right.
If my little truck hits a pothole, does the line go all crooked?
That is the million-dollar question. Hmm. And the answer is the inertial navigation suite. It's got accelerometers and gyroscopes. It's like the inner ear of the robot.
So it feels the bump.
It feels the bump, the tilt, the sway, and the software corrects for all of it instantly. It compensates for the messiness of being on a lighter vehicle.
That's the difference between hardware and software engineering.
Exactly. They fixed a hardware problem, bouncy trucks, with a software solution.
Let's talk about power. This is another place where modular usually means a pain to install.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking I need a mechanic. Drilling holes, hooking up to the engine.
You're thinking about PTO's power takeoff units. They're the bane of fleet managers' existence. You have to cut into the truck's drivetrain, run hydraulic lines. It's a mess.
And it voids your warranty.
Left and right. So the 100M avoids all that. It's a 24-volt electric drive. It runs off electricity. You connect it to the vehicle's own electrical system, maybe with a secondary battery, and that's it.
So it's basically plug and play.
Compared to a hydraulic install, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
The design mandate was customer installation. A competent mechanic in a local garage should be able to install this in a day.
That changes everything. You don't need to fly in a specialist from the factory.
You just need the crate and the manual.
Okay, we've crazed it enough. Let's get real. What's the catch? What are you giving up? You said it can't do both sides at once?
Right.
What else is on the can't-do list?
The video script is actually pretty transparent here. Besides the single-sided operation, it says it does not support pattern automation.
Which means?
On the big integrated trucks, you can program complex skip patterns. You know, 10 feet of paint, 30 feet of gap, double line here, and the truck just does it. The 100M seems to require more operator input for those complex jobs. It's built for the bulk of the work, the long straight lines, not necessarily the super complex intersection work.
Which makes sense. It's the 80-20 rule.
Exactly. It does 80% of the work, but it provides 100% of the accessibility. For a crew that's currently doing everything by hand, automating the long haul striping is a total game changer.
And that brings us back to the core mission. Mm-hmm. I want to go back to that story behind document. We've been talking about volts and pneumatics, but the language in there is heavy. It talks about mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters.
It's a necessary grounding. It's easy to get excited about the tech, but you have to remember why they built it. People die doing this job.
There's a quote here that really stuck with me. Worker safety should not be limited by geography.
That's the whole idea, the democratization of safety. Think about the inequality. A road crew in a wealthy state has million-dollar safety trucks.
While a crew in a smaller country or even a rural county with a tight budget is out there with plastic cones and a prayer.
And Limtech basically said, the technology to save these people exists, but the wrapper it comes in is too expensive.
The truck was the wrapper.
And the wrapper was the problem. By stripping it away and giving you just the technology in a box, they leveled the playing field. Now that rural county can have the exact same AI protection as the big city crew.
It's not about making a cheap version. It's about making an accessible version.
And that is a distinction that more industries really need to learn.
So this leads me to a bigger thought as we wrap up. This LifeMark 100M is a heavy industrial robot shrunk down to like IKEA-level logistics.
Right.
Is this the canary in the coal mine for heavy industry?
What do you mean by that?
Well, look at computers. We went from mainframes that filled a room, that's the truck, to laptops that fit in a bag, the crate.
That's a great analogy, the laptopification of heavy infrastructure.
Yes. So if we can do this for a road painting robot, what else is immovable right now? What other massive machines are we just assuming have to be massive?
That's fascinating. Could you pack a bridge inspection robot into a suitcase?
Or a skyscraper welding bot into a backpack?
If you can decouple the intelligence from the chassis. If you stop shipping the truck and start shipping just the brain, then yeah. Anything feels possible.
It feels like we're moving toward a world where the tools we use to build our infrastructure are as portable as the blueprints themselves.
You don't bring the factory to the site anymore, you bring the kit.
Which makes the world a much safer and much more efficient place to build.
A wild future to think about.
From a 500-pound crate to saving lives on highways around the globe.
It's a heck of a story.
Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. Next time you see a road crew, maybe give them a little extra space, and hopefully, sooner rather than later, you'll just see a robot doing the dangerous work for them. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next one.